Well, I appreciate what the ladies provided for us downstairs, and thankful to be back up here now for the second lesson, and glad to have Brother Billy Moran here tonight to present the lesson. He's a member here at Fairview Memorial. He's the pastor at New Bethel Missionary Baptist Church, and thank God for his ministry. Amen. And the work that he has done for the Lord and the work that he has done among our churches. And when I introduced Brother Jeff, I said that I remembered being in service with Brother Jeff when I was in my 20s. Well, I remember being in service with Brother Moran, too, when I was in my 20s. But the difference was when I was in service with Brother Jeff, when I was in my 20s, Jeff was in his 20s, too. And Brother Moran was just a little bit older than that. But I give thanks that that God has sustained his health, and he's still preaching the word. I've got to hear Brother Moran preach several times lately, and I'm just amazed and blessed at how the Lord continues to use him, and I know that he will tonight, and you pray for him. I love him so much and appreciate his teaching through the years, and just ask that you pray for him as he stands before us tonight.
Well, I'm thankful to be here tonight and to have another opportunity to try to teach a lesson here at the Winter Bible Study. The church has been good to me down through the years while I was here, and they're still being good to me since I'm gone. And I appreciate all of you coming tonight to hear the lessons. I thought it would have been good to just give Jeff my time, you know, because I thought he'd done real well. And I would have said that even if he hadn't been my son, you know. But he did do a real good job with a very difficult subject. And I've got a difficult subject, too, so I need your prayers. Okay. My subject tonight is atheism. And my lesson text will be taken from the 14th chapter of the book of Psalms in verse 1. It is a very short text and very much to the point. The text says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." And I want to first of all define atheism. Atheism, the word atheism comes from the Greek prefix a, meaning without, and the Greek word theos, meaning deity or God. And the World English Dictionary defines atheism as unbelief in God or deities, or disbelief in the existence of God. So tonight I'll be trying to accomplish what the committee intended for me to accomplish, I hope to at least, and that is to point out the danger of atheism and how we might combat it or overcome it. And that's my desire, at least. I want to point out to start with that there is a difference between an infidel, an agnostic, a deist, and an atheist. An infidel is someone with no religious convictions or belief. I think we would probably refer to them as being a heathen. An agnostic is someone who believes the existence of God is not provable, but does not deny the possibility that God may exist. A deist is one who, based on reason and not revelation, believes that God does exist as creator of the universe. And after creation, he abandoned it and assumes no control over life and exercises no control over man or natural phenomenon, and who gave no supernatural revelation. And of course, an atheist is one who denies the existence of God. And I'll probably use most of those terms in my lesson, and I wanted to point out the difference between them. I hope my lesson will complement Jeff's lesson, because they are very closely related. From my research, it seems to me that the first people to doubt the existence of God may have been the Greeks, intellectual Greek philosophers, who began to promote the idea the world could be explained without a creator God. And Paul may have encountered some of those people when he was in Athens, Greece. We know the Bible tells us that there were certain Epicureans and Stoics, philosophers, who spent their time in nothing else but to tell or to hear some new thing. And while Paul was there, he was moved in his spirit by all of the idolatry that was going on, and he told them about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they called him a babbler. And they said, "What will this babbler say next?" Well, the opportunity presented itself for Paul to explain to them about God. They took him to Mars Hill, and he took for his text the unknown God. And he began by saying, "God that made the world and all things that are therein, seeing he is a Lord of heaven and earth, he does not dwell in temples made with hands, and he made all things, including man." And he says, "For in him we live and move and have our being." Now, I didn't quote all of that, but I gave you the gist of what the apostle said, and you can read it in the 17th chapter of the book of Acts. So, my opinion, perhaps the idea that the universe could exist without having it created by God may have begun with some of those Greek philosophers. Also, there was a small number of Romans who were atheists. And we know this because Roman gravestones have been found that clearly stated that the deceased did not believe in the existence of God. But it was a long time after that before atheism became commonplace. And I want to point out in 17 and 37, Thomas Paine wrote a book, and it was called The Age of Reason. And although he was a deist, his book is considered by many to be the most atheistic book that has ever been written. In his book, he argued against politically institutionalized religion and supernatural Christian doctrines. He wrote these words himself, and I'm going to have to do quite a bit of reading tonight. I don't like to do that, but I'm going to have to, so you'll just have to bear with me. Paine wrote, and I quote, "One would think that a system loaded with such gross and vulgar absurdities as religion is could never obtain credible belief." Paine continued, "I believe in one God and no more. I hope for happiness beyond this life. I believe in the equality of man, and I believe that religious duties consist in doing justice, loving mercy, and endeavoring to make my fellow creatures happy. But lest it should be supposed that I believe many other things in addition to these, I shall in the process of this work declare the things I do not believe. I do not believe in the creed professed by the Jewish church, the Roman church, the Greek church, the Turkish church, the Protestant church, or any other church that I know of. He says, and I'm still quoting, "My own mind is my own church. All national institutions of churches, whether Jewish, Christian, or Turkish, appear to me no other than human invention, set up to terrify and enslave mankind and monopolize power and profit. I do not mean by this declaration to condemn those who believe otherwise. They have the same right to their belief as I have to mine. But it is necessary to the happiness of man that he be mentally faithful to himself. Infidelity does not consist in believing or in disbelieving," he says. "It consists in professing to believe what one does not believe." So that's a statement from Thomas Paine. And I want to I'll just continue. It seems to me that atheism did not really become popular until the 19th and 20th centuries. Following Charles Darwin's theory of evolution and his book, The Origin of the Species, atheism has increasingly become common and is growing very rapidly in our times. Now, speaking of Darwin, Darwin was not an atheist. In 1879, Darwin wrote, "I have never been an atheist in the sense of denying the existence of God. I think generally speaking, an agnostic would be the most correct description of my state of mind." Now, according to the encyclopedia, Darwin was a nonconformist Unitarian. Jeff mentioned the Unitarians and the humanists, and many of them connected with the Unitarian Church. The encyclopedia says he attended Cambridge University and later became an Anglican clergyman. So he was not an atheist, but Darwin's book, along with his theory of evolution, has influenced many to turn to atheism. There's another modern-day atheist that I want to mention. His name is Richard Dawkins. He's the author of a book called The God Delusion. And he contends, and I quote, that a supernatural creator does not exist, and that a belief in a personal God qualifies as a delusion. Now, I suppose about everybody here tonight believes that personal God, believe that God is real. Well, according to him, you all are under a delusion. He defines a delusion as a persistent false belief held in the face of strong contradictory evidence. And this is what Dawkins said. "I was influenced by Charles Darwin, who I had always thought was himself an atheist. Although Darwin professed not to be an atheist, but yet his writings convinced a lot of people that he was and influenced them to become atheists. And I could not find any one person who could be identified as the founder of atheism." Now, some of you may know, and if you do, I wish you'd share it with me, because I couldn't find anyone. But I did find one who in 1963 founded the tax-exempt exempt organization, the American Atheist. Her name is Madeline Murray O'Hare, and she is arguably the most well-known atheist of modern times. She is responsible for the removal of prayer and Bible reading in the public schools. In 1959, she filed a lawsuit on behalf of her son, who was being forced to attend Bible readings in school. She contended that her son was being harassed by teachers and school administrators because he refused to participate. So she brought a lawsuit, and she challenged mandatory prayer and Bible reading in public school. And she personally argued the case before the United States Supreme Court on February the 27th and the 28th of 1963. And I've included her opening remarks because they show the positions that atheists hold. And so I quote, she's before the Supreme Court of the United States, and she says, "Your petitioners are atheists, and they define their beliefs as follows. An atheist loves his fellow man instead of God. An atheist believes that heaven is something for which we should work now, here on earth, for all men to enjoy together. An atheist believes that he can get no help through prayer, but that he must find in himself the inner conviction and strength to meet life and grapple with it, to subdue it and enjoy it." She further states, "An atheist believes that only in a knowledge of himself and a knowledge of his fellow man can he find understanding that will help to a life of fulfillment. He seeks to know himself and his fellow man rather than to know God. An atheist believes that a hospital should be built instead of a church. An atheist believes that a deed must be done instead of a prayer said. An atheist strives for involvement in life and not escape into death. He wants disease conquered, poverty vanquished, war eliminated. He wants man to understand and love man. He wants an ethical way of life. He believes we cannot rely on God, nor channel action into prayer, nor hope for an end of troubles in the hereafter. He believes that we are our brother's keepers, and we are keepers of our own lives, that we are responsible persons, and the job is here, and the time is now." Well, that's her opening remarks before the Supreme Court. And as all of you know, the Supreme Court ruled in her favor, and in my personal opinion, I believe the United States has been on the decline ever since. Since this is only one of many Supreme Court rulings which have been handed down against God and truth. Also, since this ruling, a number of laws have been passed and upheld by the Supreme Court, which are clearly contrary to God's holy word. Now, here's another quote from this atheist, Madeline Murray O'Hara, that conveys their views. She says, "A dead body is nothing more than a leaf from a tree, a dead dog killed on the highway, or a fish caught in a net." And here's another quote from this famous atheist. She says, and I quote, "There is no God. There is no heaven. There is no hell. There are no angels. When you die, you go to the ground and the worms eat you. So that kind of gives you an idea of what the position that atheists holds. I have a couple of other statements from atheists that I want to share with you that gives us some more insight. Thomas Nagel, he was a professor of philosophy and law in New York City. And I want you to listen very carefully to his remarks. And I quote, "I want atheism to be true, and I'm uneasy by the fact that some of the most intelligent and well-informed people I know are religious believers." He says, "It isn't that I don't believe in God. It isn't just that I don't believe in God and naturally hope that I'm right in my belief. It is that I hope that there is no God. I don't want there to be a God. I don't want the universe to be like that." So, we'll have some more to say about that in a minute. Now, here's another quote. "Atheists and atheist groups focus on attacking conventional religion." You just heard Jeff tell about that just a few minutes ago. "It seems that the main reason for the denial of God's existence is their fear of what they call terrifying concepts of demons, the destruction of the world, and the last judgment and hell. Atheists believe that those who believe in the existence of God and worship Him as the supreme as the supernatural supreme being, the creator of all things, are abandoning logic, ignoring evidence, and believing contradictions and impossibilities. They say, to believe in God and enjoy the benefits of religion, we must give up the value offered by reason, science, and progressive respect for human rights." So we'll have a little insight with these two comments about why people turn to atheism. They don't want to believe that there is a God who is just, who is going to judge the world. And they fear, as this statement said, the terrifying concepts of these things. And so they choose, instead of believing in God, they choose to deny God's existence. And I'll read some scripture in a little bit. And Jeff may have already read it, but that's all right. The eternal word of God says that the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, and that is when they had knowledge of God's existence, when they knew God, not when they knew Him in the salvation or in the forgiveness of sins, but when they had knowledge that there is a God, they glorified Him not as God. They did not acknowledge Him as being God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And that's what the psalmist said, isn't it? The psalmist said, "The fool has said in his heart, There is no God. And hence, or because of these things, we have humanism and the atheistic, humanist manifesto being taught in our schools, while the Bible account of God and His creation has been banned. Now, no one is born an atheist. Most atheists, no doubt, have been deceived by someone else, and in their deceived ignorance, profess to be atheists. Others, perhaps, because of their own inherent depraved condition, may have, by their own carnal reasonings, concluded that God does not exist. But Paul describes this depraved condition as having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, and because of the blindness of their hearts. I believe that when children are born into this world, they don't know anything. You know, everything we know, we have to be taught. And for a person to end up being an atheist, somebody teaches him that. Just like for a person to end up to be a Christian, he has to be taught that. You know, that's why the Bible teaches parents, you know, to bring up a child in the way he should go, so when he's old, he won't depart from it. But to continue, atheism is a result of a deliberate and willful denial of the evidence that God exists. The Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. And there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Atheism is a growing danger. Numbers of people are declaring themselves to be atheists, or at least anti-theist. Atheistic books by Richard Dawkins and Sam Harris and Christopher Hitchens are on the bestsellers list. People are buying them up to the extent that they are bestsellers. Public schools are promoting humanism, which is atheistic in principle. It is unlawful to teach the Bible account of creation as a fact. Both Bible reading and public prayer are outlawed and forbidden in public schools, in government buildings, and in many government institutions, such as the military, for example. It's just recently been on the news even chaplains, if they visited wounded soldiers in an army hospital, they cannot take a Bible and give to that wounded soldier. You know, it's our wonderful president. Excuse me for a personal opinion. But that's some of his doings. Atheists believe, or atheists say, Bible believers, those who believe in the existence of God and worship Him as supreme being and creator, have abandoned logic and are ignoring evidence and reason, and that we are delusional, believing contradictions and impossibilities. Atheists want us to believe the following. They want us to believe that it is ignorant and superstitious to believe that God made everything out of nothing. But folks, He did. Amen. He spoke it into existence. But it is rational, this is what they want us to believe, it is rational to believe that nothing made everything out of nothing. They want us to believe that it is ignorant and superstitions to believe that God is eternal. But it is rational and scientific to believe that matter is eternal. They want us to believe that God is not the first cause, but rather an effect. And God Himself must have had a first cause. I heard this recently, or maybe I read it, I'm not sure. But I think I read it, where it said that God did not make man, but man, or God did not create man, but man created God. You know, they want us to believe that we are under a delusion. We are so deluded in our hearts and minds that we imagine that there's a God. But God is the first cause. And He created everything. The earth, the world, and everything that is therein, the Bible says. Matter is not the first cause. God made matter. And they offer this question. They say, if God made everything, who made God? But they reason that matter made everything and nothing made matter. Now I want to ask you, who's ignoring logic and reason? Now here is the reason why we have atheists. And I may have already said this. But the scripture says that because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, and professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Hebrews 11:3 says this, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. For the invisible things of Him, and I've already read this, the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that we are without excuse. Now this is my opinion, and it's more than an opinion, I believe. The physical evidence of God's existence, according to the scriptures, is the orderly function of this universe. God created it. He put it into motion. And it is still performing today exactly like it was the first day it was created. Now, if that's not some physical evidence of God's existence, then I don't know what is. But the Bible says, and I quoted this a while ago, so I won't quote it again. The heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament's handiwork. But there is spiritual evidence of God's existence. And that is how He deals with us personally through His Holy Spirit. You know, God does deal with each individual. And if you've ever been dealt with by the power of the Holy Spirit, you know it. You know that God is real. You may not, be able to take a picture of Him, but you know that He's real and that He has spoken to your heart. Now, I want to get this in, and I'm doing pretty good on time. Better than I expected. How do we combat atheism and the eternal destructive nature of its influence? Well, it has to be through education, don't it? We have to educate our children. And we have to use the truth to do it. And the truth is the Word of God. And it must be done in the home. And with the help of the church. I believe that it's parents' responsibility to teach their children about God. And I also believe that the church can help them in doing that. As parents and grandparents, we need to get our priorities in order. If we don't, we may lose our children and our grandchildren, which God has given to us. We may lose them to Satan because of false teachings. Now, Jesus asked this question. What is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So the teaching of that verse is this, that your soul is the most important thing that you will ever possess. It is the most important. We brought nothing into this world when we came, and we can't take anything out. And if we turn to the Lord and the Lord saves our soul and at death takes us to heaven to live with Him, that's the only thing that's going to heaven that we've ever possessed will be our soul. And in the resurrection, our body will get there too. But nothing is more important in raising a family than dedication to the Lord and to His church. Now, I believe that. If you want to combat heresy and atheism and humanism and all these other things, we need to be dedicated to the Lord, and we need to teach our children about the Lord. And I've got some more to say on that. We need to take them to church where the truth is preached. And we need to keep them exposed to the gospel. Now, Easter and Christmas won't get it done. We need to keep our children exposed. And the way we do that is we take them to church every Sunday. We don't send them. We don't let the bus come by and pick them up. We take them. And we sit there with them. And we never know when the Holy Spirit is going to speak to their hearts. I sat in church a lot of times, you know, all my life, until I was 10 years old before the Lord ever revealed to me that I was a sinner. But that one day He sure did let me know. And what if my parents had stayed home from church that day? Well, maybe I'd have had another chance and maybe I wouldn't. We just don't know. But it's important to keep your children in church from the time they're babies. Instill in them the importance of that. And we need to convince them by word and by deed. Not just what we say, but what we do. We need to convince them that God is real and is personal, and that all blessings come from Him through our Lord Jesus Christ, and they really do. If we bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord as God has instructed us in Ephesians 6:4, we can rest assured that the Holy Spirit will deal with their hearts in conviction. Jesus said, if He went away, He'd send the Holy Spirit and He would reprove the world. And He does reprove sinners. And He will reprove them if they are exposed to the gospel. And He will draw them to Him for salvation. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. That means everyone. Everyone. So Atheism is a danger. It is. And atheism and humanism is so closely related that you can't hardly separate them. And I really enjoyed Jeff's lessons, and I hope that my lesson maybe complemented his a little bit. And I just pray that God will help us. We're living in a day of decline. Our missionary Baptist churches are declining. Now they are. We might well admit it. We might well face it. And if we don't get concerned, and if we don't stand up and be counted, I tell you, there's going to be a lot of them that's going to go out of existence. And so I pray that God will bless this little lesson and will use it for His name's honor and glory. And I thank you for listening to me.